Are you ready for the hype train?
That's right, folks. It's the Hype Train. I'm your conductor in this fine, fine evening. Very cold evening. Got Asa Gray with me.
It's about time it's cold. I mean, I hate it, but it's December. It needs to be cold.
We had snow.
Yeah, but then it was like 60 all last week.
It's true. It did get late. And in fairness, I don't think it's officially winter yet. I think it's still technically fall.
I don't care. It's December.
It is December. Like, December, you know, that's a cold month. Like, that's all there is to it. But, yeah, because what is the official start to winter?
The solstice.
I know it's the solstice. December 21st. I just couldn't remember when. So, yeah, right now it's still technically fall.
Technically. And I get it. Technically, right? It's the best kind of right. Shut up, me.
I mean, and I like fall and winter. My favorite two seasons in order there. So
I like fall and spring because I like it. I like those 4 weeks of just like to combined.
Yeah,
for fall and spring,
like especially like here in Southeast Missouri.
Yeah,
We go from dead summer to dead winter like real quick.
So fast. I'm tired.
Yeah,
Jesse, I'm tired.
That's fine. I get it, buddy.
I'm gonna steal a little bit of your thunder. This is supposed to be the happy show. This is what we're excited about.
Yeah, we're hyped.
We're hyped. As part of this show, I decided to do some research because I've gotten very far behind on my comics. So I got off work today and I was like, I'm going to read comics. I was going to do it this weekend, but I had SARS. If you want to know about that, go to our pre-show at patreon.com/podzilla1985. I talk about how I have SARS.
Make you holla.
Prove me wrong. Because you can't, because that's a HIPAA violation. I'm pretty sure. So I got off work today and I sat down and I started reading some comics.
Yeah.
And I'll get to the one that I really liked. But I got caught up on Batman. Jesse, are you caught up on Batman?
I think I'm an issue behind on Batman right now.
Okay. Well, you need to brace yourself. Because issue 83 is a real just punch to the sternum.
I'm trying to think if... Because I want to say actually I've read issue 83. Is that where Bruce finds out?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I've read that issue.
He wakes up and...
Yes.
Yeah.
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 So
that I was very optimistic about that. I was like, yeah, no, like this was part of the plan. And then they,
because this is what happens, ladies and gentlemen, fast forward a little while. If you don't want, I'm going to keep it vague. So I'm going to try real hard not to spoil it. But if you were currently reading Tom King's Batman Run, The City of Bane right now, and you're behind, you need to jump ahead because there's only so vague I can get.
Right.
So, like, 6 issues ago, snap.
Yes.
And then they just move on immediately.
Yeah.
And nothing really happens.
I remember talking to you about that. Yeah, like, there's no way they did that with, like, that little pomp and circumstance. That, like,
no
that,
fanfare at all. There was no reaction. There was no reaction.
Yeah.
It happened, and then they just moved on with the story. And I was like, okay, now I'm starting to question if it did happen.
Right.
So then issue, like,
and they also bring it out there, like, it was very much seemed like it was part of the plan.
Well, because issue it was 81,
like
they're talking about the plan, and he's like, okay, person gets away, and then we send in person B, who we know's there.
Yeah.
Like, person B's there. That's all part of it.
We know,
like,
we know person B has done his job.
Person A has done his job. Person B has done his job. Things are going according to plan. This is great. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. Maybe I missed something. Because this whole Tom King run, like these last like 20 issues, have been nothing but me feeling like I've missed something.
Very true, yeah. Like, I keep thinking that I have skipped an issue
Something is
off.
So I'm like, okay, well, all right, that's weird that they would just totally like hand wave that away because that felt significant. But you know what? Maybe not, because it felt so insignificant. And then I open issue 83. And issue 83 is just, nope, he lied.
Yeah.
And the reason, and there's a reason that he lied.
Yeah.
And there's a reaction.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh no.
Yeah.
And I want to know where the narration's coming from. Like, was it a journal? Like, was this actually physically written down? Or was this just his thought process in those last moments?
Was this an
audio recording? Because, like, at no point does he read anything. And he was... Well, I guess he could have, like...
Yeah, he could have read it beforehand. Because I took it as he was reading a letter.
See, and that's what it felt like. But it didn't show him reading it, and it was too sudden. Because it goes from, all right, we're... things are going here to all of a sudden reveal. And then, okay, well, so there was no real time to read it there. And I guess he wasn't really like bound and gagged the whole time that he was being kept. So he could have written it out then before it actually happened. Mm. He just knew it was going to happen because he, you know.
Yeah, he knew what the plan was.
He did the thing.
Because, yeah, he was like, he was, because I don't think he was bound and gagged the whole time. Like he was just, because like, he was prisoner.
Yeah, but he wasn't. He was being forced to like. Not help Thomas, but you know, yeah. he was still the butler.
He
had to
Thomas.
Play that role. Yeah, like he had to play the role. So yeah,
that was bad. Like I was reading that, and I was like, okay. And like what letter recording, whatever it was, mm-hmm. It was heartbreaking.
Yeah,
and we can't talk too much about it. Like
I will say, up until the way that it resolved itself, the discussion of the others that come,
mm-hmm.
And then there's just it's like one versus like six, and just that scene of the one just on the ground, just like mangled, and just and I was like, yes, I know it's not for real, but yes, I feel this. I enjoy this, and then, yeah, like, six pages later, it's like, nope, that's undone, which is fine, whatever, I get it. So, I'm looking for, are we going up tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay, so, yeah. I think we might be able to pick up 84.
Yeah, 84 is out currently.
Okay, good.
I'm positive of that.
So, we'll have 84, so I'll at least be able to, it going till 86 is his last issue, 85?
I think it's 85.
Okay.
I think.
So,
but it was also supposed to have moved to once monthly by now, and it hasn't done that.
Yeah, but I feel like they're not. I feel like going twice monthly to once monthly and creative team change.
They should coincide.
That's less. They should coincide, but I feel like that's less up in the air of, oh, you know what? Yeah, Tinian the Fourth, you've been working on this. I know you've got this project, but we're actually going to push you back a couple issues so we can give Tom King a little bit more rope that we'd already cut from him. I feel like they're not going to do that. So.
Nah, yeah. Because I feel like this was all just like it was miscommunication because this does seem like it was part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The point is like this whole run, like I kind of want to reread it once I've got all the issues
mm-hmm.
because like I know it's also a little bit on me where like I'll get a couple of issues behind and I'll read both of them and then, you mm-hmm. know, go forward. Yeah, it frequently does feel like I've either forgotten something or I'm missing something or, like, I don't know. This whole, like, the last two arcs have been really just a weird blur of, like, I don't know if I skipped something.
And part of me thinks it's supposed to be like that because you're supposed to be experiencing like he is because he doesn't really know what's going on.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that he doesn't know what's going on, but we've still gotten some reveals from his side of it, too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because and then it's like, oh, no, yeah, tactical retreat.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
I wanted him to, like, I kind of wanted him to lose.
So let's move on. Because to what did you like, buddy?
It's Something is Killing the Children.
Oh, yeah.
Issue 3 is out. I read it today, and this one felt... a little bit fillery, but it's so well done, and I'm so interested that I didn't care. Because there was just like one or two little pieces of, this thing's maybe not really what you thought it was going to be. Okay, well now there's, you know, here's a new relationship forming, or a new character interactions forming here.
Mm.
And it's like, okay, I like where that's cool. I don't know much about... We don't know jack about Erica Slaughter at all. So I'm like, I like finding out about her. This isn't your real name. Slaughter's a real name. Is it your real name? That's what it says on the card. It's like,
that's a fun moment.
Cool. I like you. This is fun. No, I'm like, that book is amazing. It's brutal. It's gory. You weren't on the episode that Tanner was on with us where he talked about how, like, in horror movies, you don't show the kid being killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
He would not like this book.
Yeah. There's a lot of, 'cause
you don't really show, like, I don't know if they necessarily show the kid dying, but like, there's a pretty graphic sequence, in this one. And it's just like, it's dark. This is a horror book.
There are a lot of, like, comics and stuff like that in general. Like, that was a big rule in, like, the 80s slasher movies.
Yeah.
And
it has to happen off screen.
Yeah, it has to happen off screen. Like, they can kill kids, but it has to happen off screen. That's something that they have, the horror genre in general has deviated from pretty hard.
Yes, it has. Can confirm, because very recently I have confirmed that to be not the case anymore.
But even other mediums have deviated from that, like, and have for a long time now. Mm-hmm. Like, there are anime in the 90s where kids are dying on screen, like, brutal deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing a kid get their head chopped off is graphic.
It's weird. Yeah.
It's one of those things. Like, it's like, oh, that was a decision they made. And okay, now there's actual impact to what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, other stuff like that. But yeah. Yeah, and the comic book medium can get real dark with some stuff,
mm-hmm.
Especially once you deviate from, you know, Marvel and DC.
Yeah.
Because some dark stuff happens in Marvel and DC, but nothing quite like, you know, what you get out of, like, some Image comics.
Yeah, and other than, like, Black Label, and I still say that one of the most brutal deaths I have ever seen in comics is in that recent Batman issue.
Was it the one with Swamp Thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a brutal death.
That was
brutal
messed up.
Death. Flash had another one that was pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm.
With Godspeed. That was woof.
Mm-hmm.
Which
is cool. I like that. I like that they're not afraid to kind of to shy away from it, because, you know, now comics are no longer strictly for children. Like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't say either of those were too graphic, because they weren't. They weren't gory. They weren't graphic. They were just like, they were brutal.
Yeah.
Like, there was the concept of dying that way is terrifying.
Yeah.
But it's not like, you know, it's not a fatality.
There was another comic book that I was reading recently that had some pretty, like, just metal ways of killing
people.
Wasn't
there like a Constantine book or something like that?
Because
I remember you telling me, you're like, oh, there's a new candidate. No, it was a Marvel book.
Yeah, it was a Marvel book, and I'm trying to remember what it was.
Indestructible Hulk?
Yes, I think.
Or Immortal Hulk.
Immortal Hulk. Yeah, Immortal Hulk has had...
That's a straight-up body horror book at this point.
Yeah. and it's had some pretty brutal kills in it, too.
Cronenbergian.
Yeah, no, straight up. Like, that book is... If body horror is your thing... and just in general, like, the Immortal Hulk has been a phenomenal book.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, constantly selling like crazy, winning all sorts of awards and everything. So, if body horror is your thing, like, definitely look up Immortal Hulk, because it is, and it's a phenomenal book. Like, it's so well done, and it's so terrifying. Like, I never really thought that a Hulk book would be like that, but, you know, here we are.
Yeah, year of our Lord 2019.
Right? And, yeah, there were some pretty brutal ones there, too, but I don't think that's the one I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one that I'm thinking of, maybe it was The Visions? Because I did read through that recently on Marvel Unlimited. The gist of it was, like, if I'm remembering the scene right... somebody is phased through a floor, like their head goes through, they're raised up, their head goes through a floor, and then they're no longer being phased,
yeah,
but their head is still in the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of blood.
Yeah.
that does not end well for the person.
No.
This kills the human. And I remember I don't remember what book it was. I want to say it was The Visions. But yeah, no, that was just like, oh, no.
Because, granted, I haven't read all of the spinoffs of... I've only read X-Men 1 after coming out of Hox Pox. But, like, they don't tend to get that bloody. But I could absolutely see Kitty Pryde offing someone like that.
Yeah, Kitty Pryde doesn't usually kill people.
Yeah. She tries not to.
Yeah, no, that's one of those things. Like, they talk about heroes not supposed to kill. Oh, so this actually brings me to something I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So I recently watched through Star Wars Rebels, mm-hmm. because it's on Disney Plus and I've been wanting to watch it for a while. So this is one of the things, you know, that has been bringing me joy lately is Star Wars Rebels. That show is real good. Especially if you liked the Clone Wars stuff, it's the same writer and everything. And yeah, I've been really, really enjoying it. Except for there's a couple of things in there. They make a little bit of a big deal about not like outright killing someone.
Mm-hmm.
In the earlier seasons, it becomes less a thing in the later seasons. But in the earlier seasons, they talk about, like, no, you can't just kill this person. And, you know, they even talk about, like, how all of their little, like, rebel missions and stuff like that. Yeah, no, people are getting a little hurt, but nobody's dying. Like, we're not losing men to these rebels.
Mm-hmm.
And they make the big deal about that. But at the same time, they're having space battles. And there are ships blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
They also have blown up like star destroyers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, you blow up a star destroyer, that's a few thousand people.
They all got to the escape pods.
They all got there.
Yep.
No worries. And the people in the TIE fighters, like all the stormtroopers,
they ejected. They had their parachutes went and it's fine.
Yeah, they ejected into space. Yep. And they're fine.
Well, they had parachutes.
Yeah, no big deal. So I'm watching that, and I'm just like, because they made it a major plot point in an episode, because like one of the main characters is a Mandalorian,
mm-hmm.
and she was gonna just straight up like murk somebody, and they make a big deal about like, you can't just do that.
No, I can. Look, it's so easy. They're so squishy.
Blasters, just blam blam, like it's crazy, and I'm just sitting there like, what? I just watched you kill a man like you shot him out of the air like minutes ago.
Every life is sacred. Hang on. I did just watch. I finally watched the third episode of Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And so is stormtrooper armor just cardboard? Because I feel like if I sneeze on a stormtrooper at this point, like.
It's supposed to be like the super spectacular kind of metal that's.
But it ain't.
I know. Yeah, stormtroopers get beat up real bad.
And then also, like you were talking about, like it's Star Trek, the Prime Directive. You don't get involved.
Mm.
Literally every episode is them getting directly involved in whatever planet that they approach.
Yeah. 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 So, like, and I understand, like, it's a kids' show.
Mm hmm.
So a lot of like, you know, maybe the kids aren't equating, like they get away with it thinking like, well, the kids aren't going to equate stormtroopers with real people.
Right.
Versus like, you know, you've got like,
which
these...
is fine. Cause like fascists aren't real people. They are expendable. It's fine.
Cause then you get to like the stormtroopers, you know, they're getting shot all over the place and everything mm-hmm. else, but they never shoot like the generals when they have a chance.
Right.
Like,
the ones like, you can see their face.
The one. Yeah. If you can see their face, they're safe.
Luchadors. Disposable. When you unmask, you're good. Like
right. So yeah, the way for a stormtrooper to stay alive in the Star Wars universe, at least
pop that helmet off.
Exactly. In these Clone Wars and like the Rebels storyline, you pop that helmet off, solid.
Because I can absolutely see a scene of the like it's this giant battle. They're going around like the Jedi or the Rebels or whoever, just laying out like wave after wave of these men, and they're going through and like cap like finishing them off. And one of them, like, takes off, a stormtrooper takes off his helmet because he's, you know, laying there hurt. And he's got to catch his breath. He's trying to breathe. Wait, no. We can't kill him. You can't just kill the man. As he's literally, like, on a pile of his comrades and, like, friends and co-workers.
Yep. Yeah, because they're no longer clones. Like, they haven't been in a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's it's something they at least get away from it in the last couple of seasons, because mm-hmm. it's four seasons total.
Yeah.
So the first two seasons, like that becomes, like, you know, that's where that scene happens that I was talking about. The last two seasons, a lot more people die.
When I was sick, I restarted the Clone Wars again.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to the episode of the Jar Jar 3PO episode that I always have to, like, I need to remind myself, nope, just don't watch it. Just skip it.
Or like second screen it hard, like, you know, you just
that's kind of what up, that's kind of what
like
I was
a
doing
game on like your phone or something.
I was
like
playing Pokemon while I was watching it. So, but I caught myself like, oh, I'm paying more attention to Star Wars to Clone Wars than I was Poco. I'd be like, oh, I'm still in this battle. Okay, hang on. Let's get going.
I got attacked by Pokemon. Here we go.
Another thing that's bringing me joy comes out of X-Men number one.
Mm.
And I like that, and this isn't a real one, but it's X-Men 1 was weird. I'm going to talk to you about it. But my favorite part was undoubtedly, and I think we've talked about it on the show before, but now I've finally seen it with my own eyes, of...
The map?
The map of the Summers headquarters on the moon. And it's all... Because let's jump back to one of the issues of Hox Pox. They're all celebrating something. I don't remember what. But Logan is got Jean in one arm and Scott in the other.
Yeah.
Of just like, yeah, group hug, we're celebrating, this is great. And I'm like, yes, this is the solution to your problem right here.
Because, yeah, you've got very much like...
I would like Scott Summers so much more. Me and Shannon might actually get married if Scott wasn't such a jealous, petty little... We're not swearing on the show. So I'm like, cool, here's your answer. Great. Let's do it. And then we get to X-Men number one. Which is the, you know, it's the map. It's the ground floor, and it shows you, okay, here's the kitchen. Here's the dining room. Here's everybody's individual room that doesn't connect to anything else except for the main walkways. Oh, but these three rooms.
Yeah, with Jean's in the middle.
With Jean in the middle, Logan and Scott on either side, and there's a door into Jean's room. In Wolverine's room and in Cyclops' room.
Because I don't remember if it was on Nerd Up or Hype Train where I went over this map. Like, yeah. I know we've done it on the show before.
Yeah, and I know we've talked about it and I've seen it on the internet. But now seeing it myself, like, in the book, I kind of love the fact. Like, I know it's the internet is shipping it. And granted, I'm one issue behind because I think only two's out. I don't think three's come out yet.
Three is out.
Did it just come out, like, last week?
I think so.
Okay. I don't have two. Or I don't have three.
Because I think three came out. I think three did come out, yeah, last week.
Okay. So maybe they address it, but right now the internet is shipping the three-way, the polyamorous relationship between Wolverine, Scott, and Jean. And, so, like, yeah, I'm down. Like, let's explore this.
I'll spoil a little bit. So far, no. Like, that has not come up.
Well, bummer. Because that would be more interesting than anything else. Because X-Men number one, that felt like a weird one-off.
A lot of
Nothing felt like it. Felt like nothing happened.
So, like, I've talked about, like, before, like, I thought the team for X-Men in general was going to be the Summers family.
Because that's what they said.
Yeah, not the case. Okay. It's a rotating cast.
Okay.
Which kind of makes sense. Like, it's just kind of whoever's relevant to what's going on are the features of...
They're
going to
get pulled into the intrigue because it's going to include people from the council and it's going to be... Yeah. I'm assuming.
Yeah, no, that's so far...
I'm assuming
all
of that stuff is going to happen in the X-Men book.
Yeah, so far, like, a lot of that is what's happening. Like, it's kind of like the overarching... Like, X-Men right now almost feels like the one book that you can't read by itself.
Oh, really?
Like, it feels a little like that. It's not... I don't know. I'm gonna need this first arc to finish up.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, it seems like the actual like X-Men book is just dealing with what's happening in all the like it's the linchpin of all the other books. Like it feels a little bit like that because it's referencing certain things that happen. And in fairness, there is like in X-Force number one, kind of a big deal thing happens. And that's addressed in all of the other X-Men books. Mostly because it's kind of a big deal what happened.
I need to find the reading order then, because...
There's not really one. Just read all the number ones.
And then do all the number ones, do all the number twos.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'd be fine with that. Because there is, like, a couple of, like, little tidbits here that might spoil, like, something very minor that's not a huge deal. But it's not like House of X Powers of 10 where you have
there's a specific reading order.
Yeah. No.
Only mixes up like two. There's only one tiny little gap that it's not just House Powers. Like why?
They go paradiddle on you
it's
halfway
fine.
Through.
It's fine. It's done.
Shout out to my drummers that got that. but anyway, yeah, it was weird. But I'm completely caught up on all X-Men books.
I'm not. That might be what I do tonight. I might play more Call of Duty. I might play more Pokemon. I don't know.
I'm probably gonna play some Call of Duty.
I might play some Call of Duty.
Make that happen. Because yeah, we'll get more on that in a minute. But yeah, no, X-Men, like I've been really, really enjoying. Mm-hmm. I know we talked about it last time. There's a whole bunch of books that came out. Like I think that I had talked about really enjoying Marauders number one. Mm-hmm. And just an update on this point, Marauders has come out to be my favorite book out of Dawn of X.
Nice.
That it's just so good. I'm enjoying it so much. Jerry Duggan, I think, is the writer on it.
Like, we're still two issues in for all of these. Like, there hasn't been a three.
That Marauders, I think, we're number three.
We're at two. Like, yes. We haven't bought a third issue of anything yet.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, okay. We have not bought a third issue of anything yet. Yeah, they're just...
Because we're a week
we
behind.
Got, like, three number threes came out last Wednesday.
Okay.
So we've got...
And so we'll then, pick those up tomorrow.
Yes.
And then whatever and then, number like, threes come out.
Three more number threes come out tomorrow.
God, I need to read these so I can figure out what I need to cut, because yep. I've got to cut something.
I'm really, really bummed, because the one that I'm probably cutting is Fallen Angels.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the ones that I was like, yes, I will enjoy this book, because it's... Young Bishop, or not Young Bishop, Young Cable, whatever, like, I don't really care too much about him. But I was really, really interested to see where the new Psylocke is going, Quanon, because she's kept the Psylocke moniker. Betsy Braddock has gone on to Captain Britain now, which is a thing.
I refuse to learn, because I was still just so... I've known Psylocke as version of
the
Psylocke.
Ninja assassin.
Yeah, that when they were like, she's not even in her original body. Like, you just blew 20 years of me's mind. Because it's been that long that okay.
Yeah, Psylocke has been that way for a long time. She's got her original body back. She's leading the book over in Excalibur with Apocalypse. That book has also been kind of interesting with Rogue and Gambit. I don't know if I like it or not. I'm going to need this first arc to wrap up for me to make a decision on that one. Fallen Angels has just been a real bummer, especially with how they're writing Laura. Mm-hmm. Apparently in issue 3 coming up, I guess the issue 3 hits tomorrow, and there's a whole like 2 pages of Psylocke teaching Laura how to fight.
No! No!
Right?
No!
Right? I saw that and I was like, hold up. This is a girl that has been trained to be the most lethal assassin on the planet from the time she could walk.
Did they forget that, like, did they think that Jessica Jones was a mutant, or...
I don't know.
What happened?
So, because, I mean, like, at this point, yeah, like, it seems like if that's the route they're going with, it's like Jessica Jones' superpowers now includes extendable claws, and she needs
healing
to learn
factor.
How to fight.
Yeah.
I'm sure... that Quanon is an excellent assassin and fighter.
There better be a panel of Logan somewhere. Excuse you?
Cause
you're teaching what now?
You're teaching her how to fight. The girl that has been a trained
assassin
from the time she could walk.
Literally
she
from creation.
She was genetically created to be the deadliest weapon on the planet.
She literally knew how to fight before she knew English.
Yeah, that is an actual canon thing. She knew how to fight before she could talk. I haven't actually like looked at the page. Like I've just because
maybe you got maybe you read it wrong.
Surely
she's teaching her to be a better assassin.
Because she's been out of the game for so long,
or she's humoring her. I'm just like, sure, you can teach me how to fight.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm going to read it. But, like, and on top of that, it hasn't been particularly great. Like, it's felt weird. Because it's like they're trying to, like, explore a little bit of Japanese culture, and it's not working real
That's
well.
Always iffy if it's not a Japanese person.
And it's not. It's really not. So, I don't know. Like, and that's a little bit of a bummer. And I honestly want to continue to buy the book. If for no other reason, then like I want to show that there is support for Laura. Like I need X-23 to get a book because I love her and she's great. But I don't know if I can keep buying Fallen Angels. Like I'm going to buy number 3. And if there really is a 2-page spread of Psylocke teaching X-23 how to fight, then I'm done. I'm out. Tapping out. No more. Oh, God. New Mutants has been really good. Definitely a lot different direction than I thought that was going to go in. They're off in space doing some neat stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, they're having adventures with space. They're dealing a little bit with the Shi'ar. It's that one's turned out really interesting. You've got what other? Yeah, Excalibur has been solid. Like I said, I want to give that a story arc before I give up on it because it has been pretty interesting. Right now, Jubilee's baby is a dragon. That's just, I know, right? I just want to give people that, like, you want to know how and why? Check out Excalibur. It's interesting.
No, I don't. I don't want to know why.
He's not a dragon in the real world. This is the exact reaction I was hoping for.
I'm not.
Excalibur's been very interesting. I think Shannon honestly would absolutely love this book. He needs to get it. The look on Ace's face right now.
And I get we're not a video. I don't have words to that. No. Like I can't. There's no white hot room. Like put it on a T-shirt, but we don't because then. We'll
yeah, right. X-Force has been really interesting. Domino's not having a good time. Domino's having a real bad time in X-Force. Oh, man. Wait till you get caught up in that book. right now, she's in a spot of real bad luck. God bless America, the way that one ends. You know, we need to change this show where we can swear. There's no reason not to.
It was your baby.
Yeah, I know. Fuck it, we can swear. I know, right? So, X-Force, yeah, that one's been interesting. I think that's... No, there's got to be more.
Marauders, Excalibur, Fallen Angels, New Mutants, X-Force.
Like, I feel like I'm forgetting one.
Well, the Wolverine solo book hasn't come out yet.
Right.
X-Men. We talked about X-Men. I think that is all six.
Yeah, I think that is all
I think there were only six Dawn of X books.
Yeah.
So
either way, yeah, no, I've really been enjoying Dawn of X for the most part. A couple of, like I said, pretty surprising ones that I didn't think I would really care at all about New Mutants, especially because the only characters that I really care about on that team are Ileana Rasputin and Wolfsbane. Like, I like Wolfsbane a lot. She's real cool.
So, yeah, that's everything. Wolverine is getting a solo book, but that doesn't come out until February. And then there are two more books. One of them comes out in March, and the other one is totally TBA.
And the one that's coming out in March, we actually talked about yesterday on Nerd Up.
Yep, Hellions.
Hellions. That one is... the team on that one makes me think that whatever's happening in Fallen Angels is going to lead to Hellions, and I'm not going to like it. And hopefully Laura goes to another team where she's more respected, bring back Tom Taylor, please. What's he doing?
I'm super excited. He's got a Detective Comics. He's got a Batman book and a Spider-Man book coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
On the one hand, I'm heartbroken that his Detective Comics is only a one shot. But on the other hand, I'm a little relieved that his Detective Comics is only a one shot.
Means you don't have to get back into it.
That's a whole other book that I would have to start picking up, and I'm already like, I didn't get a chance to read Last Gods yet. That's two issues in. That's one that I wanted to try to read, but I ran out of time. That was going to be the next thing that I read because I had to get caught up on Batman. And something is Killing the Children is the first book that I read. That's my priority. If I see that's an issue, like that's my number one.
Goes to top of the box. Yep, yeah. Or top of the pile. Because
it's so good. Batman's really good too, but.
Spider-Man right now. Finish your thing. I want to talk about Spider-Man. Then I'm done with comic books.
That was it. Because that's all. Because I haven't read much since last time that we talked about, so I didn't have a whole lot to add other than just the three-way relationship and the feelings that I was not expecting to feel because of Tom King and Batman.
Yeah, Tom King has done that to us quite a bit in this run.
A lot.
He really has. So the last little bit of thing I want to talk about in comic books, and then we'll move on to some other stuff that's bringing us joy. The Spider-Man event that's coming up, the Spidey 2099.
Mm-hmm.
I've read the first several books in that. They've only released the alpha and the actual story, but they're doing these like the one shot tie-ins. They gave us the alpha 2099 that set up a bunch of characters that are going to be in the story. Then you've got all the one shots about those characters. Punisher 2099 hit, Fantastic Four 2099 hit. I think those are the only two that I've read so far. And then you've also got, I think, Venom 2099 came out, and there was another one that hit. Ghost Rider, I think, 2099 hit. Looks like the general synopsis for this event, it sets it up with Spider-Man. Something goes wrong and makes Doom really angry. And then stuff happens, things go along the way, and by 2099, Doom is God again, sort of. And he's got like a watcher held prisoner. He's changed the timeline where superheroes are no longer a thing. And you've got the book, the 2099 story. And I'm really excited to see where that's going. The Fantastic Four 2099 has another runner up for like most brutal comic book death. Fantastic Four 2099. It's got a twist ending. Real twist ending. I'll tell you about it afterward because I don't think you're ever going to read it.
I'm not.
There's some people out there that might.
Yeah.
Because I talked to Shannon about it, and even Shannon was like, oh, that's messed up. So, if you want to hear about it, hit me up on the Facebooks. Go to facebook.com/podzilla1985 or on Twitter and like, hey. And I'll slide up into your DMs and I'll let you know. And yeah, it's... oof. Punisher 2099 was way less violent than Fantastic Four 2099.
Is that the twist? Is that the plot twist ending?
I mean, that's a twist. it was also kind of interesting. There was like the original Punisher 2099 from, you know, the old 2099 series. I'm trying to think of that dude's name. Corey Gallows?
I couldn't tell you.
Or something like that. Either way, like honestly, it's a very wrestler-esque name. Because I almost said Corey Graves. I'm like, no, that's definitely a wrestler.
Yeah.
And then I almost said Luke Gallows, also a wrestler. I think it's Corey Gallows. That was the original Punisher 2099. He shows up as kind of like a nod to that character. Like, there's a character with that name in the Punisher 2099 story. And I thought that was kind of neat. But, yeah, no. Like, I'm real excited to see where this is going.
Real quick aside, did you see the tease for the new Champions book? That I don't think is called Champions.
Oh, yeah.
No more teen vigilantes.
It was like, yeah, I saw it because the headline for it was terrible. But I'm trying to remember what it was called. Because yes, I did see it.
Because I saw it on Twitter today and it looked really cool.
Because the headline I saw for it was like, it just said okay boomer in the headline. I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
The meme's gone out of hand. It's dead now. The meme's dead. By meme.
Outlawed.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I knew it was something kind of edgy.
That's in March. Okay. Seems interesting.
Yeah. I'm wondering what's going to happen with that. Like, I heard Champions also got really good once Wade got off of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a weird sentence to say.
Right? Book got better when Wade left. I think, like, Wade just cannot write young people.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, I think that's a legitimate problem. It's... Every other thing that I've read from him has been just solid. Like, if it involves young people, though, then it's cringeworthy. You ain't as hip as you think you are, Mark. I love you, but you're just not.
Stop. I just saw a little bit ago that IGN announced their game of the year for 2019, and it's Control. And that makes me so happy because that's my game of the year. So the big games of the year, like if next week is the Game Awards,
yeah,
and I'm going to watch that, but I'm mostly only going to watch it for the announcements because that's
they do a bunch of big announcements.
There's going to be, I think Jeff Keighley said there's going to be like at least 10, and none of them have leaked yet, which is crazy. So
yeah, that's why I like video games yesterday and were real slow.
I also think that's why we're going to get the Batman game. We better get that Batman. WB Montreal. Oh, you sons of bitches! Oh, you sons of bitches! Anyway. Calm thoughts. So this year, last year was, the last 2 years have been amazing for games. Breath of the Wild, Mario Odyssey were both in 17. 18 had God of War, Spider-Man, Red Dead. And then this year, most of the big games did not appeal to me. like the Resident Evil 2 remake. I understand that that was masterfully
done.
Was
that this year?
That was this year.
I could have sworn that was 2018.
That was this year.
Oh my.
Because it's up for a game. That's one of the nominees for Game of the Year this year, which Smash Ultimate also is, but because it was launched in November, doesn't matter. It's the cutoff. So like, yeah. Jedi Fallen Order isn't eligible for any awards this year at the Game Awards, but it'll be eligible for next year. It's not going to get anything because like next year's lineup is stupid stacked right now. And that's not even the stuff, you know, that's only the stuff.
2020 looks like a real good year for nerds in general.
Yeah, it's, you know, and that's only the stuff that we know about.
Right.
So Resident Evil 2, I know it was very well done and people loved it. I'm not a survival horror guy, and I've never been a Resident Evil guy. Just it's not my cup of tea. It's just outside my circle. I'm not saying it's bad or anything. It's just I didn't buy it because it's not for me, and I'm fine
sure.
with that.
Yeah.
Death Stranding, same thing. I'm not a huge Kojima guy because I've never played any of the Metal Gears. So his name doesn't bear a whole lot of weight. The only thing would be PT. But this was very much not a successor to PT.
Ooh.
And even PT, it would have been like, I will watch Shannon play that. I will watch somebody play that.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to play I'm going to play Silent Hills. Like, from your perspective, like, you're not going to just go out and play Silent Hills.
Or like, yeah, I'll go online and watch someone play through it. But yeah. That's not going to be a game for me. So Death Stranding, and then what Death Stranding ended up being, just like, okay, that's
I
not...
I don't think Death Stranding is going to win many awards.
That's another discussion.
Only because it's an extremely polarizing game.
Yes, but I also feel like you're going to have the people that feel like they should give it the nod. Because
it
it's art.
It might get nominated for something.
Because it's art.
I just don't think it's going to win anything.
Yeah, well, so we'll that'll be really interesting to see, especially with the Game Awards.
Yeah.
So, but like, again, wasn't my big cup of tea. Like, I'm not going to... I didn't even play it. I didn't play Resident Evil 2. I didn't play Sekiro. Playing Jedi Fallen Order makes me kind of want to go and play Sekiro because it's similar parry style combat and, you know, I beat Star Wars on hard. I'm sure I would absolutely get my ass kicked six times over if I even attempted Sekiro, but I didn't play it. So, again, that's another From Software game that a lot of people really, really liked. Not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all these big heavy
was
hitters...
Was Sekiro From Software?
Yeah.
Huh.
That was their last one.
Yeah, I didn't think it was. I just didn't realize it was From Software. Like, I knew it was a Dark Souls clone, but yeah,
I'm
did not
pretty sure.
Did not realize it. I mean, I believe you.
But you got me questioning myself. Developer From Software, yes.
Okay.
Cool. So and then like Mortal Kombat 11, you know, I loved it, but not.
It wasn't what you wanted it to be.
There were aspects of it that weren't what I was hoping it would be.
Mm.
Same thing with Borderlands 3. Loved Borderlands 3. I never even ended up playing the Bloody Harvest stuff. Halloween-themed free event in Borderlands? I didn't even touch it.
That's such a bummer.
That's
that
all
event
I can
was
say.
Super fun.
Yeah, and so like that's all
that
I can...
That boss fight was so cool.
That should, you know, that's a bummer to me that I missed it, I know, but... That kind of summarizes my feelings on Borderlands 3.
Especially since they gave you until like December 5th.
Listen, I'm not even going to talk about Anthem.
Oh.
Because that was this year.
Well, it sure was.
So Control is,
you know,
even Star Wars.
We had a lot of fun with Anthem for the first 2 days.
We had a lot of fun with Anthem. Star Wars even was like, it was great, but there were so many like technical issues that really kind of kept it from really making me love it. It reawakened a love of Star Wars in me, for sure. And it was great, and it was fun, and I do plan on going back and getting all the achievements. But there's
gotta
something...
Gotta wait for those technical patches to hit.
Yeah, there was some... And I think that's part of it, too, is because there's just something about Control. I bought it the weekend it came out, but I didn't play it until, like, 2 months ago. Like, I was very late coming into it. So, like, a lot of the technical issues that it had been resolved... It was such a, like, I loved Control. I talked about it on a different hype train. You can go back and listen to that. But I'm so happy. But with those major games, Resident Evil 2, Sekiro, Death Stranding, like, there's some heavy hitters that did come out this year, just they didn't speak to me. It'd be like if I didn't care about Spider-Man or God of War or, like, Red Dead. Like, then last year's kind of lackluster, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, it's not, because Celeste also came out last year, and holy crap. Anyway.
Did you finally play through Celeste?
Yeah, I beat Celeste.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
So good.
I
holy crap, that game is spectacular.
It really is. That physical collector's edition got resold like their back stock.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I thought about it, but I didn't really think about it because I just don't need to spend that money. I've already spent so much money.
I get that.
But so for a major outlet, like, so if it makes sense for Control to end up being my game of the year personally, because, like, yeah, there's a, like, there's stuff that I liked that came out and stuff that I really did enjoy, but, like, the big tentpole games that when you look back at what 2019, like, what games came out this year, none of those really were for me. So, yeah, Control fits that slot. So to see it nominated for the Video Game Awards made me really happy. It's like, there's no chance it's going to win, but I'm super happy it's getting that recognition. IGN's 2019 Game of the Year is Control. And for a major outlet like that to have, because that's a huge, like, that's meeting, that's by panel. Like, that's not, there's someone who wrote that article by himself and he decided that, it was like the bit I was doing pretty much every year that I've been a member of Podzilla.
Yeah.
Of just like, ah, the Podzilla movie of the year is John Wick. No, there wasn't a vote, it's just I'm saying that. Right. Like, that's not what this is. Like, a bunch of people get in a room in IGN and have to debate. And to have, to know that Control won that debate against these other huge games, that makes me so happy for the team at Remedy. Because yeah, they put out such a cool thing.
And this really was, like, 2019, like, I forget, you know, exactly how much has come out. Like, this was a pretty big year for gaming.
Yeah, but
because
you
had, like, so, I mean, looking at it just here, Fallen Order, Death Stranding, Ace talked about, Pokemon, like, a main Pokemon game came out.
I didn't even think to mention Pokemon. A Pokemon game came out.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think to mention it, talking about all the games that I'm excited about this year.
Then Outer Worlds came out. Apparently, that game was incredible.
That's another one that was just outside of my wheelhouse.
But did not have a whole lot of hype behind it. Like, in terms of games that had hype, though, Borderlands 3 hit. Shenmue 3 hit. Kingdom Hearts 3 hit. Mm-hmm. We got that Resident Evil 2 remake. We got Fire Emblem, Three Houses. Gears 5 hit this year. Luigi's Mansion 3, let's see, Anthem had a lot of hype behind it, the new Ghost Recon game, Tom Clancy's The Division 2, Rage 2, Devil May Cry 5 hit this year, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, Crackdown 3,
some of these things are not like the others.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about, like, hyped games.
Yeah, big
announced named hyped games. Mm-hmm. Mario Maker 2 came out this year. Like, I'm not comparing all of these games to each other.
That's the only time you're going to see Crackdown 3 and Mario Maker 2 on the same list.
Right. On games that were hyped for 2019. that is their one Venn diagram.
And even then, I was hyped for Crackdown 3, but only because I was finally getting it. Like,
no, I mostly mean, like, marketing hype. Like, yeah, there was a lot of hype surrounding Crackdown 3. You know, Terry Crews was in on it and all this other stuff. It was talked about, like, you know, there's a lot of marketing, a lot of hype for Crackdown 3.
It's finally coming.
It turned out to be an okay game. But Mario Maker 2 was an incredible game. There's a lot of really, really good games that hit this year. And yeah, like, Asa didn't even think to mention a Pokemon game, which both of us, after, you know, like, talking about, like, how we're not going to buy this game, ended up getting it because I got Pokemon as well.
I used it as my Christmas present, essentially. Like, when I went a little irresponsible spend monster. I had a rough couple days, so I was like, I'm going to pick up a Switch Lite and Pokemon. And then that Pokemon purchase is just going to be what my Christmas gift would have been from someone. So I'm just like, we're going to call that even.
Yeah, there you go.
It's fine. It's a Pokemon game.
Yeah, we had one here at the studio. So I ended up grabbing Pokemon Shield, and I actually have been loving it.
Really?
Yeah, like, I talked a little bit about it on Nerd Up. That was actually going to be one of my things bringing me joy this week, this month, is Pokemon. I did not expect to be enjoying this near as much as I have been. I absolutely love, like, how the gym battles go. Like, that ends up just feeling super cool, like, being out there on the pitch with the crowd and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Even, like, the Gigantamax and stuff like that is fun. Like, it's not a big deal or anything like that. It's the new gimmick.
Yeah.
But, like, I enjoyed that way more than I thought I would. I really liked the wild area. I thought that was super cool. Like, there's a lot about this game that I have really enjoyed. And I find myself, like, actively wanting to play it. Which I did not think would happen. Because that's what I kept talking about with Pokemon. Like, I didn't have near the same problem with it that a lot of people did. I didn't care about the Pokedex. I didn't care about a lot of the features that were removed or a lot of the other stuff. Like, the animations is a little bit of a bummer because I just desperately want to move past handheld animations, like in a console Pokemon
game. Or
voice
acting.
Yeah, like I want to get like a major production out of it. Like with what I got with Fire Emblem Three Houses, I should have been able to get like all of those things in Pokemon at this point.
Someone pointed out like Dragon Quest XI. And it's like, if you put Dragon Quest XI on a Switch, there's no reason that Pokemon, your franchise JRPG, like, should not be up to snuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
It's just not.
But I, either way, like, all of that stuff didn't bother me so much. Like, that was the one thing that did bother me was, like, just the fact
that
they...
aspects.
Yeah, they made a handheld Pokemon game for a console, like, for what was supposed to be a home console.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you could take it on the go, and that's the big cool thing about the Switch. But yeah, they gave us a handheld Pokemon game again.
I honestly think that if I would have just like, if I would have only bought Pokemon and not bought the Switch Lite, because the Switch Lite is dedicated, like one I'll take with me, and it's one I will, and it's, but it's dedicated. It's my bedroom Switch. Mm. Like I keep it next to my bed. I play before I go to sleep a little bit. If I didn't have that, I don't think I would have put near the amount of time. I probably would have quit after getting the third gym badge.
I got the second gym badge last night because I just started playing it on Sunday. I think it was the first time I played it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just got to the second gym, beat that last night, and yeah, no, I've been really, really enjoying it. Because I know my big complaint with it was just I keep buying these Pokemon games, and I keep not finishing them.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was only $40 for the Pokemon game, that wasn't as big a deal. But this one was a $60 release.
Yeah.
Bigger deal. But yeah, no, I've been loving it. I've been really, really enjoying this game.
I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah. And Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I grabbed Call of Duty over Black Friday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That was the other video game that's making me happy right now. I ended up enjoying that way more than I thought I would. Like, they did exactly what I predicted, and they gave us the Battle Pass information after Black Friday. To make sure that everybody had bought it, just in case it didn't go over well.
To be fair, they did the thing that I talked about with Fortnite, where if you buy this battle pass, you can get to a certain amount, you can earn enough credits, Call of Duty points, to buy the next battle pass.
Yeah.
Assuming you don't spend them on other cosmetic stuff.
Yes. And that's what I was going to get to. Like, they waited, just in case it didn't go over well, they waited until after Black Friday to really show us, like, yes, this is how we will be monetizing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Like, looking at it, it's not, you can get both of the guns that are in the line for free, and they're not very far down the tree.
Mm-hmm.
You can also, you can play through the free track, and if you get far enough where you look at all those upgrades and you're like, you know what? Yeah, it would be worth getting the battle pass. You can spend the $10, get the battle pass, and you will have gotten everything that you missed,
mm-hmm.
or everything up to where you are in the tiers.
Yeah, because it'll give you the first. If you buy the battle pass, it automatically gives you the first 20.
That's for the super pass.
Oh,
like,
is
that's,
it?
Yeah, that's the like.
Okay.
Because there's like the one you buy for $2,400,
mm-hmm.
Gets you a bunch of stuff, and you get the first 20 tiers for free.
Okay, I didn't spend that much time looking at it because I jumped on last night for maybe like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I played a little bit and I didn't spend a lot of time actually looking at the battle pass other than, oh, you get the first 20 tier, like you can play the first 20 tiers for free. You don't have to buy anything. And then I saw that you could buy, and then you buy into the battle pass. I get, oh, well, yeah, that was a separate screen then.
Yeah.
That you could get the 20, you got 20 free tiers.
Yeah, you pay the $2,400, yeah, you get the first 20 tiers for free.
20 tiers with purchase, I should say, not 20 free tiers, because that's...
Right, yeah.
We're making it way more confusing than it actually is.
Right, yeah, for the 2,400 Call of Duty points, which is, like, I think that's right at $20, or maybe a little bit more than $20,
mm-hmm.
You get to move 20 tiers up the ladder. And you get, like, all that content. You get the new character they released.
Yeah.
That does include the first gun, because I think it's 7 and 31 are the two guns. And, yeah, you get all the other stuff. You get the battle pass with it,
mm-hmm.
is the important thing. And then you can just get the battle pass is, like, 1,100 coins, which is, I think, straight up
$10.
$10.
Mm-hmm.
And that unlocks the paid side of the track.
Right. Everything after level 20.
No, it's because the way the tier works... because I'm up to like tier 5 and I've only gotten one reward. So you get like a tier 1, you get a reward. Then there's tier 2, 3, 4, And then at tier 5, you get a reward.
Another free reward.
Yes.
Okay.
But there's...
That makes... I guess that makes more sense.
Yeah, there's paid rewards between them.
Okay, so like if I had bought the battle pass, because I'm at like tier 3, I think.
Mm.
So, okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, if you bought the battle pass, you would have gotten Amara.
So it's not you get 20 free tiers, there's just a 20-tier free version. No. I'm so confused. I don't know. Okay, hang on.
So
I got it. There's paid tier list. Then there's the free tiered list. So whenever you reach level 1 in the free list, you get that reward. When you reach level 2, you don't get anything. But if you had bought into the battle pass, there in the paid one, there is a reward at level 2.
Yeah, importantly, there is one track.
I'm leaving.
I know.
I give up.
There's one track, free paid. If you pay, then you get a reward every tier.
Mm-hmm.
If you go free, you get a reward like every 4 tiers.
Okay. But the guns like are that. But the guns are
part of the free.
Okay.
Yeah, there is only
so
one
So then maybe
track.
That free 20 was what the was that premium pass
with
thing.
The 20 yeah, if you buy the 2400 one, you get 20 jump like you jump to tier 20.
So two questions.
Mm.
If I say I get to like level 10 and then I decide, you know what, I might actually finish this thing out. I'm
going
to pay.
I know where you're going with this, and this is something I was wondering about. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Because basically you're going to ask, like, if you get to tier 10, you buy this, do you go to tier 30?
No, and well, I don't that, know. That was one question. The okay. second question was, will I get all of the rewards, like the 2, 3, 6, 7,
yes.
8? You get all those rewards when you buy in?
Yep.
Okay.
That actually was what I was talking about that I really liked about this.
Okay.
So, like, you can go through, like, because there's 100 total tiers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get to tier 66, that gives you enough Call of Duty points to buy the next pass.
Whew, that's a lot. Okay, so that's my big...
That's a big ask.
That's my big complaint with it.
So the idea, though, like, if you get to tier 66,
mm-hmm.
Like, without having bought the pass,
mm-hmm.
you can then buy the pass, and it will effectively be free.
Yeah.
Because you will have earned... you will have had to pay $10, but you'll get
$10 worth
back.
Of Call of Duty credits.
Yes. That you can then use to buy the next battle pass if you want to, or you can skip until you get to, you know, like... time you're going to actually put time into it, or you could spend that on cosmetics, whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah.
Because you also get, you know, a bunch of like double XP rewards. You get a bunch of cosmetics in that, in the free or in the paid version.
Cause that's my big complaint is they are doing the thing that I was worried they were going to do. And the tier system is based strictly on playtime.
Yes.
There's no, you don't get any benefits for doing well or doing terrible.
Or at least I haven't seen 100% confirmation on that, but if it is impacted by game, like how you perform
mm-hmm.
and challenges and stuff like that, it's not a big impact.
Yeah, which is a bummer because that's a lot of time. I played for like 2 hours last night and I only got to like tier 3.
See, I played for 2 hours last night and I went up 3 tiers.
So you got to tier 3.
I was already tier 2. I got to tier 5.
Okay, yeah, so same. It's
okay.
Like,
oh yeah, I assumed you had played it before.
No, that last night was okay. The first time that I put any time into it.
Into the tier. Okay, okay.
So, you know, hour and a half for a tier. That's a big get to what, 66, 61?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's 66. Cuz
like
66 is what gets you the like that gets you enough Call of Duty points to get
the next
one for free.
Yeah, that bums me out. Because I don't spend that much time playing it. Like, and I don't want to spend that much time playing it. And I was talking to Shannon about this before when I came in. If they would have done something where it was like, okay, hey, get 50 headshots, and that automatically bumps you to the next tier. Like, if they would have sprinkled in challenges or missions or tied those in, because they have those.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if, hey, okay, so you can play for an hour to go from 5 to 6, or get 20 sniper headshots.
That would be way preferable.
Or, you know, like, hey, win 5 games of gunfight. Yeah. So, like, something like...
Just a daily challenge to bump you up a tier.
Would be perfect, because right now, that's a slog. I also, I don't know very much about it, because typically what I like to do is I will go to the game subreddit, and I'll subscribe to that, because there's a lot of people having discussions and announcements and things. And, I subscribed and unsubscribed to the Modern Warfare subreddit in 3 days.
Yeah, it's pretty toxic.
It is, and this is coming from someone who spends a not small amount of time in the Mortal Kombat subreddit. the most toxic internet community I have ever seen.
It's pretty bad.
It is terrible. The community manager tweeted, like, I haven't been active because I'm getting sick of people telling me that they want my children to die in terrible ways.
It's messed up.
And then people on the subreddit attack her for saying things like that. They're like, well, they didn't want us to be so toxic. Maybe you shouldn't have done a big free update where we only get one map. And I'm just like, okay, well, unsubscribe because those comments are being upvoted.
Yeah. Like, no, it's insanity. Because they released the first big free content pack with the season one of the tier. Then it lasts 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
You have 2 months to get through the
Yeah, last night it says like pass. 55 days to work your way through the pass.
Because I think in total it's like 61 or something like that from like the get-go. Or maybe it's straight 60.
Yeah.
So you got 2 months to get through the tier list. Get as far as you can. And then it starts over. Or you can start buying tiers, that kind of thing. That's how they monetize it.
Yeah.
So you have 2 months to do that. And then whenever they release that, they're like, all right, well, this is the first big free content pack that we're releasing.
Mm-hmm.
And it started out with there was one new map. And they announced all the other stuff that was coming.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like all you got was the new character and the new map on day one.
Yeah.
So many people were so upset because they announced like, yeah, we've got, it's like five maps coming for free.
For various game modes and stuff. Yeah, it's not all team deathmatch and stuff. Like,
right. Yeah. For the bunch of different game modes you've got. Yeah. And you have like new Spec Ops missions that are going to become available and all this other stuff. And they were like, people were so mad about like, you can't give it all to us right now. Like, it's free.
Yeah.
Like,
would you rather them release it? And then the thing that happened every single year since I've started playing Call of Duty, where no one buys the season pass. So there's so few people that even the people who bought the season pass never play the new maps because there's not enough people to.
And then normally
that have access to them.
And you don't normally get like the new map until 3 months into the game.
Yeah. So
is
when
you don't normally get the first pack. So this is a month into the game, a month and a half maybe. And they just give us a free map. Like,
they're not splitting the player base. You're not paying for anything. Like,
right.
Granted, and I'm not thrilled with some of the cosmetic stuff that they're doing. And like, you know, I have my complaints, but you know, it's a game, man. Like, people need to chill with the death threats. And like, that's why I like this show, because even, you know, it feels like we're being kind of like down on some of the stuff, but like, even that is just like, oh, well, no, this is just something that we don't like and, you know, hope that we do better. But for the most part, here's what we enjoy about it. Because, you know, blind praise isn't super helpful.
No.
So, you know, you got to, you know, if you truly care about something, you have to be able to criticize it. But there's, you know, there's a difference between, I wish they would have done this, and I hope your children die, because what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, I've said it before, if you're listening to this, you're like, if you're a casual person, like, you're not someone like Zane or, like, someone within the friend group, and, like, you know, because there's strangers that listen to us, which still blows my mind. But, like, if you're one of those people who are like, yeah, get them, you can just turn, like, unsubscribe, man. Like, we don't need you.
Yeah,
you're not someone that I want, like.
Like, if you were part of that toxicity, then no, we don't need you in our community.
Unless you're willing to, like, unless you're, like, this conversation is making you have pause and be like, oh, wow, that is a human being on the other side of the screen. Like, if you're going to try to work to be better, then welcome aboard, and we're happy to have you. But like,
but if you're listening to this right now, he's like, no, yeah, fuck them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, then yeah, no, yeah, you bye.
Ta-ta for now.
Yeah. Like, come back when you have reflected on your life choices. But no, like, in general, Call of Duty though, like, all of my complaints are like minor ones about how they're monetizing it, and it's not it didn't check any of the big no-no boxes, because there are games like I have certain like big no-no boxes
so far.
I know, for monetization in games.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Call of Duty has pulled fast ones on me before. We'll see how it goes. But as of right now, like, they've got my minor annoyance boxes checked, like a couple of those.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, like, it's fine. And the gameplay, it's really good. Like, this is one of the best feeling Call of Duty games in a while.
I can't speak to like that, because I have not been a fan of the franchise for nearly as long as like you and Shannon.
Mm.
Or like, I guess even probably like Tanner. But because I've only played Black Ops 3 was my first Call of Duty game that I actually spent any amount of time with. And so I had to really adjust my play style, and I still catch myself trying to play it like it's Black Ops 3, and it's very much not. And I don't do well when I do that. I have to nope, you have to slow down. You have to be more tactical. You have to be more careful. Maybe actually stick with a partner and, you know, see what happens. Yeah, you may not get as many kills, but you're staying alive longer and, you know, assists are still points. You're like, you're getting assists and it's better than just feeding your enemy kills, which I end up doing anyway. But once it took me probably about an hour, because at first I was having a rough time. I didn't know the maps. I was used to the three lanes, and now everything's just kind of like everyone's everywhere always, and I hated it. And because they were already like that when it was only the three lanes I had to worry about. Because now they're not always just behind me. They're on the left and the right.
And they're up in buildings, like on top of rooftops and stuff. Like,
so it took me a solid hour until I don't know what clicked, but something clicked. And when it did, I was like, oh, I'm having fun. I think right now I have a barely positive KD, or it's like 0.98. It's somewhere in there. So I'm doing, for me, I'm doing okay. Like,
you have a positive KD, but doing better than Shannon right now.
I couldn't go streaming or anything. Like, I couldn't, you know, because I'm not good. I'm still on the other end of that highlight reel, but I'm enjoying it. Now, that said, in the 2 hours I played last night, I literally only won one game, and I was consistently like top three of the losing team, which is always kind of disheartening, but I'm enjoying it a lot. I'm still only using like that first assault rifle that you get,
the Kilo.
Yeah, that's all, because I'm just trying to work on camos.
Yeah, I do like how they've done the customization in this.
Yeah, so you
and
don't,
like the weapon attachments and everything.
You're not prestiging anymore. You just kind of
You just kind of keep going.
Yeah. So then there's other guns that I've been using, but that Kilo just feels really good. And
the Kilo, like, and but the thing I love about the upgrades, like, there are so many attachments, and the way you get them is different than in previous Call of Duty games, and there's a lot of customization to it.
The leveling up and the customization stuff is it does. Here, I heard Shannon talk about that before I got the game, and I was like, oh, that's kind of that'll be interesting to check out, but I probably won't care that much. I actually really like it. Granted, I don't usually change anything, because like the early ones that you get don't have as many negatives. So whenever I start realizing like, oh, I aim down sights even slower, I don't want to add that.
Yeah.
So I don't really like, I don't mess with it a whole lot, but every once in a while I'll do a little bit of tweaking. Like, oh, I'll try this, sir.
And see, for me, like, I'm almost always ADS anyway. Like, I don't do a whole ton of like run around a corner and just, you know, like have to aim. So like, I do have like, my guns are mostly set up with the maximum amount of like recoil reduction and some hip fire accuracy for when I do need to like do some quick shooting.
Right.
And I can customize around like every gun that I've messed with so far. I've been able to do that. And like, even like the Odin, very much not my normal type of gun, but I stuck with it for a while because it does a whole bunch of damage. And after I got a few upgrades for it, now it's like my best gun, because like it has almost no recoil, and I've got like some hip fire bonuses on there. So if I come around a corner, just light somebody up real quick. And you know, I put on like some extended magazines on there. Like, there's so much customization to these guns, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I ended up really enjoying it. The camo unlock system, like, I like quite a bit in this one. It's no longer just headshots. There's like a camo tree.
There's
for
some
headshots.
Some of them I'm not a huge fan of, that I'm going to have to do, like getting kills while mounted.
I love the mount system in this so much.
I barely use it.
Oh my God.
Like, I know I need to. I know that's because I'm playing the game incorrectly, but that's not how I like to play. So it's just like, all right, I'm going to have to like,
especially like, and I love the, so for the matchmaking stuff, you put in a filter. So like, I want to play these game modes.
I only play team deathmatch.
I have to keep turning off kill confirmed, because like I'll turn it on and then that's all I get.
Yeah.
And so I have to turn it off.
I played
so
like
get,
three
like,
in a row, and I always get matched with people who are just going, they're playing like team deathmatch.
Yeah. They're just getting,
they will run past, they will avoid picking up,
they'll
tags.
Pad their stats and then move past it. So yeah, like that's kind of a bummer, but so I have to keep turning off kill confirmed, but right now I have just TDM and domination and I get like a pretty good mix of the two. And I actually really like that's one of the few, objective modes in any FPS that I like is domination. It's just fun to me. So yeah, I have like, you know, those setups going, and then yeah, there's a domination mode where I figured out like what exactly mounting was, and I like it a lot. Like, I like that system. Like, being able to, like, peek around corners and stuff with it and, like, be mounted up and ready to go. It's super neat. Like, I like it quite a bit. I also bought a really expensive controller.
Oh, yeah, you got that Elite 2.
Yeah, that was my Black Friday purchase, and it was not on sale.
My Black Friday. So one of my Black Friday purchases from Best Buy might be getting canceled.
Oh.
It was supposed to come in on Saturday, and it didn't come through. So I got an email saying like, "All right, well, it's delayed. Usually it's between 7 and 10 days, but if it hasn't come in by like January, we'll just cancel the order." And I'm like, "I don't want you to cancel the order. I want my two big old Switch memory cards that I got for dirt cheap."
Oh yeah. Okay, I think that's going to do it for us, though. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. Make sure you check us out on patreon.com/podzilla1985. $1 gets you all those pre-shows. There's 3 pre-shows up now that are free, and one of them at least is very long. It was the Cyber Monday special is what Dalton keeps calling it.
Oh, yeah, that was because I was having to deal with August car stuff, so you guys started waiting for me. Yeah,
we've been recording for a good like 10, 15 minutes when you came in. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, like we got that on there. Make sure you hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/podzilla1985. And we're getting a little bit more active on Twitter. At the very least, you can find us twitter.com/podzilla1985. I actually don't know if that URL works. We're podzilla1985 on Twitter.
It should.
If that doesn't work. And you should be able to, from there, find our individual accounts. Like if you want to hit us up on Twitter. I've actually gotten more active on Twitter. Hitting up like a bunch of like comic book artists and writers and stuff like that has been really fun. So that's going to do it for us. Those are all the plugs. Thank you guys. See you later.